have your Bibles and back to Matthew 17. I want to read, if I can, verses 13 through 15. And I want to talk with you tonight, just a moment, on the thought under the church steeple. I got the idea, really, the other day when I drove by our church building. And I was noticing out here our steeple. And I was noticing, Brother Donald mentioned it tonight, but I'd already thought about it, that our steeple needs cleaning. It really does. It kind of needs cleaning. And so hopefully we can do that. But I thought of it more Friday as the tragedy that happened. And Rob and Sarah go to church at Hackaburg. And I thought of it more as I seen people filter down to their house Friday evening from Hackaburg. And it was a blessing to me to see that church family, even they lived so far away, to filter down, to come and to comfort them, and to come and to support them. And I thought as I looked, that's what church is all about. Under the church steeple. I'm not a farmer, but Francis went the other day. We have a couple trees we planted. We was going to fertilize those trees. She asked the man at the co-op, how do you fertilize a tree? And he said, well, you kindly go around that tree as the shadow. As the limbs out, the shadow, you put that fertilizer all the way out as it shadows. And therefore, you cover the area. And I thought what Jesus said in Matthew chapter 5, that, listen, you're the light of the world, a city that is set on a hill that cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but they do what? They put it upon a candlestick, that it might what? Show forth unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Now, upon this building is a steeple. And we might say that steeple only covers this building. But in reality it doesn't, does it? It covers much around this building. In fact, it covers the entire community. If you really want to get technical, it covers the city and it covers the entire world as our mission from this building goes forward. Now, in Matthew chapter 17, Jesus had taken his disciples, and if I understand it, Peter, James, and John had went with him as they kind of went off into a mount. And the Bible tells us as they began to go that our Lord began to ascend up. And as he ascended up, there appeared with him Moses and Elijah. And we know the words of Peter as Peter said, Lord, it's good for us to be here. Let us build us here two tabernacles or these tabernacles. And you remember the words of the Lord said, this is my beloved Son. He is the new covenant. You believe him. You hear him. But I want you to catch what happens when they come down from the mount. The Bible says in verse, I believe, if you'll go and look at verse 14, when they were come to the multitude, now they had just been up on the mount, they had just seen the Lord transfigured. He's in his glory. We today have come to God's house. We've come to worship. We've enjoyed ourselves through the teaching of God's word, through the singing and the praises of songs. You haven't had much preaching, but we've enjoyed ourselves by being in the fellowship here at this place. So we have been on this mount or in this mount today, even as we fellowship tonight. But here's the practical lesson I want to draw from this. When they were come to the multitude, there came to him a certain man kneeling down to him and saying, Lord, have mercy on my son, for he is a lunatic and sore vexed. For oftentimes he falleth in the fire and often into the water. Now, what did Jesus see, or what was his news as he came down from the mount? It was a person that was hurting. A person that was vexed with disease that was hurting. And therefore, as I thought about this, My thoughts, as the Lord pressed on my heart, what's under the steeple? What's under every church steeple? And using that thought of that tree being fertilized under its shadow and in the community, I thought about what's in every church's community. First thing there is, there's people. Amen. Would you agree? There's people tonight. All around this building, not only on the inside, but all around this building, there's people. Now we have to ask ourselves, what kind of people are there? Well, I believe one of the kinds of people that there are around this building, every building, is hurting people. People that are hurting, that you and I may not even be aware of tonight, but in their heart, they're hurting. In the book of Matthew 9 and verse 36, when Jesus saw the multitudes, He was moved with compassion. And they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. Here is people that Jesus saw them, and Jesus saw them hurting. For one different reason or another, maybe it's because of sickness, maybe it's something that's happened in their family, maybe something socially, financially, something has happened to them that has made their heart to be burdened and that has hurting in their heart. As I look tonight, I look around me, even at my home, and listen, there's people hurting. Hurting. And today, folk, as you look about, what do we feel under the steeple? We're to feel compassion for those people that are hurting. God taught me a lesson Friday. He taught me a big lesson. And the lesson is, those that live around you, people under the steeple, as you might say, the church. I've got another couple that lives up on the hill. And as far as I know, they're not married. And they're not Christians like Rob and Sarah were. But she was out mowing her yard Friday evening. God gave me an opportunity. But in that opportunity, God gave me the burden to express kindness to them that I hadn't shown before. And she was mowing that, pushing that old mower. And I just went to her and I said, "Lady, you don't push that mower. I've got a mower right down here." And I said, "I told your friend or whoever he was, but I said, I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to go get that lawnmower. I'm going to go get the air tank that airs the tank up. And I'm going to bring it up here and set it in your yard. Whether you use it or not, it's going to be you." But I said, "You don't need to be pushing that lawnmower." You say, "Well, Brother Danny, why help them?" Because Jesus loves them. And listen, Satan has blinded people's hearts in the world that we live in today. He has. And listen, the Lord impressed upon me, if there's anything that's going to shine in their heart to them, it's going to be God. But God's got to shine through me and His love for it to get to them. Because they don't go to a church. They don't go. But listen, they're people. And they're people that in reality are hurting because of what? Sin has done what? Sin has wounded them. And today, folk, listen, all around buildings and all around our houses and all around this church, there's people that are hurting because of sin. There's people that's hurting because of sorrow, deaths in families. And as we look, we think about the vision that we talked about Wednesday night. What is the vision of a church? The vision of a church is people. And people, as Jesus saw them, hurting. Hurting because of sin. Hurting because of sorrows in their life. And people that we can reach out to. So, under the steeple of every church, there's people. People. Under the steeple of every church, there should be what? There should be prayer. Would you agree? There should be prayer. Jesus says, "My house shall be called what? The house of prayer."
Jesus commanded His disciples, pray for one another. Oftentimes in my life, I guess I get too self-centered and I say, that's their problem. That's their problem. But you know what? Really and truly, we should be considerate of others' needs. Amen? And today, folk, listen, we should pray. We should pray. Not only for those that's inside the building, but we should pray for those outside that building. Often think of what James says. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous person availeth much. I'm thankful to God tonight that Burnout Baptist Church, that under this steeple they have people, and they have people who pray. Pray not only for one another, but pray for those that are hurting. Pray for those that are in community. Pray for those that have been blinded by Satan and by sin tonight. So there's prayer. Prayer. Under every steeple, it should be a house of prayer. But you think about it tonight. Under every steeple, there ought to be potential, and there is, isn't there? I'm in the midst of people tonight that God has saved. And He saved you, and He saved me by His marvelous grace. And you think about it tonight. He's blessed those people with what? Talents. Talents. You know, oftentimes we say that, we've been given a talent. I really don't know what mine is, but we've been given a talent. And that talent, that gift, is first of all to serve the Lord. And many of you have been given the talent to sing. Many of you may have been given the talent to teach. Many of you have been given the talent to encourage. You've been given the talent to meet people. I mean, there's so many things that God bestows upon His people. But you know, there's so much potential, I believe, even amongst God's people, that has not been unleashed in their lives. But you think about outside this building, at the little boys and girls that listen. They may have not yet come under the sounding grace of God. They may not yet come under the conviction of the Holy Spirit in their lives. But I'll tell you what, their potential. Amen? Their potential. You know what Paul looked at? Paul looked at every soul as a potential. I admire the Apostle Paul. I believe, folk, if Paul met a stump, you know what a stump is? It's a log. It's a tree that's been cut off. I believe if Paul had come up on a stump, he'd have witnessed to him about Jesus. And the reason, because he loved them so much, but the reason he saw the potential of what Christ could do in and through their lives. Under every church steeple, listen, there's multitudes of potential. The wheat fields are white unto harvest. The laborers are few. Pray ye therefore that the Lord of the harvest might send forth laborers into His vineyard or in His work. Potential. And I thought under His steeple, under the church's steeple, what do we see? We ought to see preaching. Preaching. Under every church steeple, there ought to be the preaching of the Word of God. God has chosen through the simplicity of preaching to save them that believe. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. I say again, as I studied the book of Jonah, and as I studied that book, one of the things that I grasped in my life out of that book was, what is good preaching? And the definition was, when a preacher preaches what God had laid on his heart from the Word of God, that's good preaching. That's good preaching. So we ought to hear the preaching that exalts Jesus, that expounds God's Word. Every church steeple and under it needs to hear the preaching of the Word of God. And then I think, lastly, I think under every church steeple, there ought to be praise of day. We are a chosen generation, a holy priesthood, a royal nation, that in through us, that we should show forth the praises of Him that has saved us and called us. Folk, tonight, listen. We ought to be singing forth the praises of the Lord Jesus Christ.
exalting Him under the church steeple. But as we leave, we ought to be praising the Lord. You have a little sign that I think Brother Richard has made you out there in the vestibule. As we go forth, we're to do what? Go ye and do what? Preach the gospel to every creature through the praising of the testimony of what God has done for us. I'm thankful for this building that has been placed here and that steeple that is on top of this building. But there's a higher light. That's the light of the Lord Jesus Christ as it shows forth in this community. Several years ago, Francis and I had the opportunity to go to a Bible conference in Jacksonville, Florida. Now, those of you that know us most probably know that Francis and I are nothing but country people. I'm kind of like Brother Kimbrew, the older Brother Kimbrew, that one time that he'd never been anywhere, and he went to Oxford, Mississippi, and they crossed the little Buddy Hatchie River. And he said, "Is this the Mississippi River?" That's the kind of like I would be. I've never been anywhere. And these old two country people going to Jacksonville, Florida, could you believe it? By themselves. And we knew we were going to have problems finding the church. And I'll never forget stopping and asking the question, "Do you know where First Baptist Church Jacksonville is? Can you direct us?" And the answer was, remember it? Look for the steeple. Why? They had a peculiar steeple, one of the largest I've ever seen in my life. And I can see why he'd say, look for the steeple. But you think, under our steeple, the people that we live in, thank God for Burnout Community, thank God for the people that we serve around, thank God for the people that are in this building. But all today, people that are hurting, Jill and Kim and others teach school, Sister Karen, others teach school. You know, there are children that come in that school that they're hurting, aren't they? You don't even know, our Sister Beck, you don't even know what that child has come from. You don't even know what it's left that morning. And you know what? I thought about how many of those little children just need attention. They just need somebody to put their hand around and just give them a little attention. Hurting people. It's the world that we live in out there. My, that church. Thank God for Burnout Baptist Church. Her compassion, her love that she has, and the testimony that she has for the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, you didn't think I was going to be short tonight, but I am. And I thank God for you coming. I thank God that we can preach and teach God's Word. But I tell you something else that's very important to a church that cannot be underestimated, and that's the fellowship of the church. The fellowship of the church is very important. God can do anything among any people. But God can work among people that are in fellowship together. You say, "Brother Danny, this supper is anything." This supper is important because it's the fellowship of God's people coming together and enjoying one another. And I think that's very important as we come and we just have a good time with one another in the Lord. And I thank you for coming.